Free with Z, with me, Rob Kosmich, and with me, as always, my friend, Christian Z.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing today?
So this is a podcast where the two of us meet every week to discuss the latest in pop culture, current events, and basically whatever's on our minds for the week.
In a three-topic structured format.
Very structured.
Very structured.
We're going to be very structured. How's your week going, Z?
The week went all right. I told you about, I wanted to bring it up there. I'm very proud of myself that with doing the right thing now in life and everything's been working out a little better, I've been trying to have constructive, productive things done throughout the week. And the last time I was truly high, I came up with what I thought might have been just me being fucked up on drugs, but I thought of a very good movie idea.
Really?
Yes. So what happened was I went to my best friend, Brendan, who you know Brendan very well, and I do.
Sure, I love Brendan.
I do consider Brendan, and this isn't just because he's my best friend or anything like that. I do consider Brendan, if you ever read his work, he is one of the best writers I've ever read. And before you give me a condescending look,
no looks over here.
No, I'm not saying it towards him. I'm taking offense towards myself because you're like, I don't read. I read well. I read very well. And notice how I said well and not good, but I liked that. It made me feel good that he liked the idea because I got a text the next day. And it's weird that I'm connecting this. It's almost like when you hook up with a girl and you don't get, like, if you don't get a text the next day, you're like, maybe I fucked that one up. Maybe the move isn't the same anymore. Or that was just good in my head, you know?
Right.
I woke up to a text from him and he goes, very good idea. Just don't mention it on the air. So
the first thing you do is bring it up.
But whatever. Maybe I should just take up. I told him I bought a book because he went to school for it. He's actually an adult. And I love that you wrote down that. I'm the guy who just buys the writing prompt books for $7.99 on the bargain rack of...
Yeah, I saw Goodwill Hunting. You know, you don't need to pay for the education. Sometimes you just go to the library.
Did you call me the Matt Damon in that situation?
Yeah. Yeah, and he's...
Affleck?
The Apple guy.
The Apple guy?
Yeah.
No, I was talking about that they wrote Goodwill Hunting together, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
I was talking about the actual movie when the guy quotes, you know, his extensive education, and Matt Damon learned the same thing for $2.99 at the library.
That was very nice that you said that. But I was implying that I was the Matt Damon in the writing relationship between him.
Oh, no, you're definitely the Affleck.
Yes.
But that means you're going to be Batman in a few years. It's going to be great.
I should be Batman. Mm. I have no problem with Affleck as Batman. If we're going to talk, because we are going to...
All right, fuck it. Let's talk Batman.
Are we going to have to cancel all three topics and just do that?
I got 2 hours on.
The initial podcast you and me were going to talk about, we originally wanted to start this was... All right, so we do have a timeline of when originally the concrete idea came around, was when Batman vs. Superman came out.
Yes.
Because when the first thing you and me did constructively, I would say drunk or under the influence ever, was writing down how many times Batman kills somebody in Batman vs. Superman.
Yes.
Do you remember the number?
I don't.
46. 46.
Confirmed kills.
Confirmed.
I think there was a couple explosions that we didn't necessarily count.
There's a few paraplegics in there, but yes. All right, so we'll say approximately 46 to 52. I'm going up. I'm not going down.
Right.
I refuse to go down. But that was the initial discussion, and we wanted to even title that podcast. I think that one we wanted to do on the broken rule. Because I don't mind if Batman kills anybody.
No.
I don't mind if superheroes kill anybody. But if you're one thing... is that you don't kill anybody. Guess what? That's a concrete thing that you need to keep.
Right.
Unless it's like a big...
I mean, Michael Keaton kills people in that first Batman. In the Tim Burton Batman, he puts a bomb in someone's pants and kicks them down a hole and it explodes. Like, they're killing people in the movies all the time.
George Clooney didn't kill anybody.
I don't
think George Clooney fights anybody in that movie. I really don't.
Does he not fight Freeze in that?
The only scene I remember in that movie is the lip condoms.
The lip condoms.
Because once they realize that Uma Thurman, who is Poison Ivy, she might be the hottest Batman character ever, that she could kiss you and then she just has this power over you.
Right.
Which, you know me, that is my type of woman immediately. He puts... No. O'Connell puts on the lip condoms
yes,
and kisses her. And then she gets so upset she rips it off. And I'm like, that's the hottest thing I've ever seen in Batman.
Lip condoms.
You don't remember nipples on the Batman
no,
costume?
No, the nipples I obviously remember.
Okay.
The lip condoms, no, you have to remind me.
All right. I love that I remember an Uma Thurman kiss scene and you remember George Clooney's nipples. We're going to end it at that.
You want to start your first topic?
First
episode with Christian.
This is a big moment here.
This is one with Z. We'll see if we get to three with Z.
Yeah, you're lucky you get one with me right here. You'll have a minute or two at the end to recap. Disaster Artist is something I do want to bring to the table and talk about for many reasons. I know you've discussed it a lot of people already because there's a big buzz for the movie, and especially because James Franco won Best Actor in a comedy musical in the Golden Globes. It has got a lot of buzz, and it's also boosted the original character who he played in the movie, Tommy Wiseau's budget for his that movie, The Room, which the movie Disaster Artist is based on, has finally turned a profit after being 25 years out in theaters, technically. Right. So the budget of that movie was $6 million, and the book is called The Disaster Artist, and that's what they based the film out of. And initially, when I wanted to see Disaster Artist, I like James Franco, but I also hate James Franco. I hate James Franco when he plays James Franco, which tends to be 9 out of 10 roles he's in.
No, that's funny. That's the only time I appreciate James Franco, is when he's James Franco. When he tries to stretch his wings a little bit, and I'm a little more iffy on him.
I'm soap opera James Franco fan, General Hospital, where ironically, his name is Franco, but he's as far from Franco as possible. I love that people like the way James Franco plays him, but you can't say that this is a hard role to play.
Oh, capturing the weirdness of Tommy Wiseau?
Maybe I just feel I'm an exceptional actor and I could pull it off.
Right, good. Well, because everyone's done the impression.
It's very Bruno-ish. No one's really said that yet. I get it, it's an Eastern European slightly. You don't even know, sexually, I don't know what he is.
Oh, I think he's all man.
I don't think he's had sex with a woman, though. I'm going way too...
No, but that's not fair, what you're basing that on his performance in The Room.
That's basically a rape.
Because that looks like... by going by The Room... The man's never had a conversation before. Like, to try to base it on that.
So why am I going to assume that if he's never had a conversation, he's ever had sex before? Because even if you pay for sex, there has to be a conversation before the sex. Like, if we run into him ever one day and we ask him, and we end this debate where it's that, has he ever had a conversation before, like, without having sex?
A human conversation.
Yes. I will nominate him for an Oscar. Like, I'll find a way to get him that.
You don't think he's had sex before with that body?
I swear to God.
That hard, weird body?
I bet you James has tried to get him laid, just, like, out of, like, thank you for all the money that's pouring into my account right now, and he fucked it up somehow. Like, I don't think Tommy Wiseau is killing hookers, but I think he scares them enough that they don't even want the money, you know?
The word is on the street, and they know not to get in the car.
If you watch the sex scene in The Room, I'm pretty sure no lady of the night could handle that conversation. Now, if no one knows what I'm talking about here, in The Room, the Room is rated the worst film ever made, but the reason people watch it is because it's entertaining to watch the worst movie ever made.
Yeah.
You know, it's different than a sports thing where it's like, oh, that's the worst game ever played. No one wants to ever, like, rewatch the worst basketball game ever. But for some reason, people love to watch the worst movies ever. Now, James Franco is playing Tommy Wiseau, and Dean Franco plays Greg. I do not know Greg's last name. I should know.
That's Mark in The Room.
That's correct? Mark in The Room.
So that he's actually the guy who wrote the book Disaster Artist based on his experience filming The Room.
That's my inner belief. My inner belief is that that guy, Greg, knew well off what was going to happen and had every intention of writing a book. Because no sound mind person, and he is portrayed, and I've seen him in interviews.
He seems like a very normal, very nice guy.
No person hangs out with somebody like Tommy Wiseau unless they have an intention of capitalizing off it. You know?
Okay.
Like, Greg says, like, even in the movie Disaster Artist, he turned down roles on Malcolm in the Middle. He's turned down, he turned down other roles in the process of making The Room.
Now, because The Room took a long time to make, too,
yes,
right?
Yes, because it's being made by a psycho who has all this money, like...
No experience.
Zero experience, but all this money to fund it. But you can't tell me that any sound person, like, no one else is bringing it to the, like, Greg, you really didn't... Like, think that this... He knew the outcome of this situation. He hoped that it would be the joke that it is today, and I really think that's what he knew.
Oh, I don't know if you could really predict how... Like, people now, they go to midnight screenings of it, like it's Rocky Horror Picture Show, and they say the lines, they throw spoons at the screen.
But I absolutely...
You can't predict something like that. It's a cultural phenomenon from this bad movie.
I'm giving him the credit. I am. Like, if he was a little... If he came across as a little bit weird... He doesn't.
No, he seems like a completely normal
And guy. He wrote a fucking book. Anyone who writes a book, in my opinion, they've gone to a different scale. You don't feel uncomfortable with the fact that this is the last thing I'll bring up about it, because I do think that it is the best James... Like, Brendan had me watch... have you ever seen James Franco play James Dean?
I've seen clips. I've never seen the whole movie.
it's funny that the guy's first movie and the last most recent one he did is the best stuff I've seen him do. I guess because in between is a lot of just James Franco being James Franco. But
so you don't like Pineapple Express?
No, I don't.
Okay. Did you ever see Spring Breakers?
I hated Spring Breakers. Yeah. I like that he's playing Riff Raff in that. Like, I'm sorry. I like James Franco's characters that he portrays. I don't like them in 2.5 hour movies with a bad story and Seth Rogen. That's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
so your real problem here is Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen, underlyingly. Yeah, that's what it is. But it's like, if I ever met him, I would be like, yo, dude, you're a big inspiration. I would do that. I would be a phony fuck. But I would also say to him, like, what happened to Freaks and Geeks, James Franco? I like that James Franco.
That is a good James Franco.
That's the best James Franco. You know, somewhere he lost that.
To end the Disaster Artist discussion, I will rate the movie a 9 out of 10 for what it is. Okay? When I rate a movie, you and me have had this discussion before, I'm rating a comedy as a comedy. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm not rating it a 9 out of 10 comparing it to, like, Citizen Kane and Casablanca and, you know, Pulp Fiction and all these great movies that...
Like that you just slip Pulp Fiction in there and just like, oh yeah, greatest of all
time. True romance. But I will give it that because I this is the first movie. This is also James's first directing movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It is. The first one he directed.
But he didn't win Best Director, right?
No, he just won Best Actor.
Was he nominated? Do you know?
I don't know.
I didn't watch the Golden Globes, so I don't give a fuck.
I don't watch the Golden Globes either. I was a big fan of the Golden Globes until I saw that they went like 5 for 5 with the Oscars one year, and I was like, oh, why am I going to waste my time? You know, like, right. I'll just watch the big one. And then I can't wait to watch the Oscars this year because we watched the Oscars last year together.
Yes.
With the Warren Beatty mistake.
That was amazing.
That was the...
Although, I still think that was planned.
Why? So people watched the Oscars this year?
Yeah, because they did the same thing to Steve Harvey at the, what was that, Miss Universe? Or Miss
That's
World
just,
or
that you can't, you're going to put that conspiracy theory out there?
Yeah, because you get a billion views on YouTube, and now you're talking, a year later, you're talking about it and how you have to see the Oscars because maybe they'll fuck up again. You don't think that they're doing that?
I think Warren Beatty is a drugged up old man who grabbed the wrong card. I'll say this.
He grabbed the wrong card? Someone handed him that card. They have interns for that.
Oh, you're saying there's a satanic blood cult spy handing out wrong...
Well,
nominee.
I'd like that in this giant production, maybe the biggest production every year for an entire industry based on productions, but you think that was genuine. Someone just messed up.
All right, I'll give you this. I'll say that if one of them was rigged to have more of a view the next year or more hits on YouTube, I would say the Oscars over Steve Harvey's mistake. Steve Harvey's looked more genuine. Now that you're saying it, that somebody hands Warren Beatty that, not that somebody doesn't hand it to Steve Harvey, but that looked more like a mistake.
Yes, I generally believe that Steve Harvey just...
Yeah, he might have... And I could have made that mistake. I'm not... Because I love Steve Harvey, you know? And I, to be honest, it's the only time I've ever watched anything. Is that Miss Universe or that's... Which one is? Is it Trump's? Is that Miss USA or Miss America?
I don't remember which one it was.
Okay.
I think it was Miss Universe.
Did he have to give up the ownership to that, too, when he's president?
I don't think he gave up ownership on anything.
It's a blind trust. Great trust. Great blind trust.
The best trust.
Fucking poor Jimmy Carter with his peanut farm he had to sell.
Too good of a man.
But going into this, too, the last thing I want to end is, you have no issue with the fact that publicly... This person, Tommy Wiseau, who James Franco portrayed in Disaster Artist, is the only person on the internet. I could look up more information on you.
I'm sure you could.
That doesn't irk you? Like, when we were talking about this last night, we were discussing what we were going to talk about, and I said, maybe he's an alien, and you laughed at me and said, no, that's a major theory on the internet. So I looked it up, and it is a theory that Tommy Wiseau is an alien.
Because there's nothing natural about him. It looks like you explained what a human is like to someone who'd never seen one before.
A toddler alien, and then dropped him in Eastern Europe and told him that one day he had to make a movie to come back to his home planet. And he made The Room.
Yeah.
And James Franco is probably going to go back to that planet with him.
Oh, yeah. He's
That's the sequel to Disaster Room.
You like Dave Franco more than James Franco?
No. I think Dave Franco shouldn't even be acting.
I love Dave Franco.
You and me aren't going to get along ever on this podcast. This is going to make me...
You ever watched the last season of Scrubs? He's the best part on it.
I hate the entire show, Scrubs.
Oh, man. You know,
you are such a hipster dick. The head doctor on that, I love. He was in Stealing Harvard. He always plays the same neurotic, high-strung Dick. He's the head doctor. Do you know
him? No, Cox. Yeah.
Cox. I like him. But I would like a show just about Cox. That you could leave in. There's a soundbite for you. I want a show all about Cox.
I'm trying to think. He rides a motorcycle and he's a bad guy. Is that Raising Arizona? There's some movie where he's...
Yes. I still haven't seen that all the way through. Because I'm still... To the audience here. I hated Nicolas Cage just as much as I hated Zach Braff. I wouldn't go that far. Maybe a little bit less. Up until like 4 years ago. And then Rob made Nicolas Cage one of my favorite actors by showing me Leaving Las Vegas. And Leaving Las Vegas is probably, as an acting movie, it's in my top five. And I know it's not a great acting movie, but I just love the way he portrayed that character.
I think he's great in that.
Yes.
I think he's great in most of his roles.
He's another person this is a Bangkok Dangerous. I know just from the title that movie's going to be bad, but I'm watching it because it's a bad Nicolas Cage movie.
Right. Yeah, there's other movies that are bad that maybe I'll skip, but I know this is going to be a bad Nicolas Cage. I'm in.
Yeah. Wicker Man?
Wicker Man's correct.
Where the last line of the movie is, "You bitches did it for the honey!" is amazing.
Spoiler alert.
Yes. The bitches
did it for the honey.
The honey. That there's no reason, there's no plot to that movie. He's just going to almost search for his daughter. We don't know if it's really his daughter or not, but...
I don't think it's his daughter. I think his daughter is also missing, but that's just like a side plot.
And he ends up on this mythical island of women beekeepers, and they end up beating him up with rulers, I remember, in one scene. Like, it goes from 0 to 100 really quick. He's just in, like, a schoolhouse, like, looking for his daughter that we don't even know if it's really his daughter, and they never say if it is. And then, like, some woman just hits him with a ruler, and then they get him on the ground, and
they put the bees on him.
And then they put...
Not the bees!
Yeah, not the bees! You bitches did it for the honey! And then the movie ends. And I love it. I'll remember that movie all day. I'll remember that till I die.
That doesn't come out of here.
99 Rotten Tomatoes.
At least.
You bitches did it for the honey. That better be the title of the episode.
The title of the episode Bitches did it for the honey.
And back to Disaster Artist. I just don't... after all this rant. But that does... Honestly, straight up, that does not bother you that you can't look up anything on this guy? It doesn't seem weird to you?
It's how I like my artists. But
not all of them are like that, though.
No one's like him.
No, but if there were other celebrities or other people that you couldn't search as extensively as this, I would be okay with it. But I just don't like that this weirdo's the one that, like, the vault is locked on, you know? I did my research, and I have a computer in front of me. And if you look up his net worth on 5 different sites, I just did it right before this, just to have some talking points. It ranges from $500,000 to $500 million. If it were in a $1 million swing, I would say, all right, at least I have a comfort zone.
Right.
No, I don't. I have $450 million comfort zone right there. Is that correct, man?
Something like that.
Close enough, whatever. But as a whole, I did like the movie. I do suggest you watch it. It was very good. I doubt you will, because any movie I tell you to watch, you don't.
No, I like James Franco. I've heard enough. I've enjoy The Room isn't the right way to say it, but The Room's interesting. Watch The Room.
To end the discussion, I know I didn't want to go into The Room too much, because if you listening to this and you know who Tommy Wiseau is, you've probably seen.
If you have any interest in movies, you've probably at least heard of The Room and decided that you don't want to watch it.
If you don't want to watch an hour and a half bad movie and you don't have the time to do that, you can go on YouTube. There are many videos you could see and a lot of people who commentate the video where they do like scene for scene, like the best of scenes. This one woman, I wish I could give her credit on this. She does a phenomenal job of going into Tommy Wiseau's psyche behind each scene. And there's one where she explains how his real best friend in real life's name is Greg, and he plays his best friend in the movie named Mark. And because Tommy in real life has no real friends... And Greg is his best friend in real life. Whenever he sees Mark, wherever he was in the filming of that scenario, Tommy could be in the middle of the most heated scene. Like, there's the scene where Lisa accuses him of spousal abuse. And he's so angry, he walks out of the room and he goes, "I did not hit her. I didn't. I swear I didn't." And in the background, Mark, played by Greg, walks by and he just goes, "Oh, hi, Mark." But then he goes right back to the scene. But, like, whenever Mark will laugh, it's because the point she's making is that Tommy loves him so much in real life that he can't do a dramatic scene with him because he's always so happy to see his best friend.
I'm just happy to see you. Yeah.
There's a scene where Mark, and this is where we'll end it, and I think it's the best point of it. If we're talking about The Room and Disaster Artist right down the time because you clicked the can open.
I was gonna let it go, but
that can I have one of those? Do you have one of them?
It's the last one. You want this one?
I just really like a black cherry drink.
Yeah, go for it.
You sure?
I have another one in the fridge.
Okay, thank you.
34:55 Black Cherry Talk.
Black Cherry Talk. And that's not a sexual reference. The last scene, the woman breaks it down great because the best scene I think in the room, my favorite one, is where Mark is telling him, because it's right after he walks out and he says, "Lisa, she hit me. Oh no, hi Mark." He sits down and then they start throwing the football back and forth. Which sure. This is
your... I mean, there's a couple catch scenes, I think.
Because he puts that into movies because he feels that's an American thing to do. This shows you that he's not American. He thinks American guys just walk around with footballs all day at their jobs, at the bar.
Well, and his you're going to play catch, but, I mean, to me, an American playing catch is baseball.
With your father. Yes, yes.
Yeah, not anytime after you're, like, 13 is kind of weird. Unless you're, like, a professional baseball player.
Yes.
And even then, I don't know if they really call it playing catch.
If you think Tom Brady or professional athletes are playing catch in their free time, you're out of your fucking mind.
You think Tom Brady plays catches with his kids?
I believe he hasn't even met his kids. Okay. All right, back to... Yeah, ex Ronaldo, if he's kicking a soccer ball with his son, please, go.
He seems like a decent guy. Is he not a decent guy?
I think Tom Brady's a better guy than Ronaldo. Ooh. And that's a statement. I know it is. Edit that one out. I don't want Kraft coming after us. But, so the scene is that he, after this... Mark is trying to console him that his girlfriend accused him of abuse when in the movie, Mark is actually sleeping with Lisa. It's supposed to be a very dramatic movie.
Sure.
It's supposed to be very,
oh, it's, yes.
It's supposed to be Tennessee Williams, you know, Stella, you broke my heart. You're tearing me to pieces, Lisa. So he sits down and he has, Tommy's Widow sitting down in this folding chair that's coincidentally is in an alley. Like they have like a fucking.
Oh, the alley is a. Consistent,
Well, he created an alley that was outside of the studio. And then Seth Rogen says to him, the character Seth Rogen's playing, saying, "Why don't we just shoot in the studio?" He goes, "This is a movie. We shoot on sets." Like, it's just the way he thinks. So Tommy Wiseau sits down in this lawn chair, and he looks up at Mark, and Mark goes, "I've been in situations, like, where I've seen real women be abused." And his character's name is Johnny. He's like, "Johnny, I've been there. I understand this." Like, this one woman, he goes, "I went to college with, she was assaulted by 13 different guys, and they had to take her to the hospital." And Tommy can't finish this scene with him, not because he is a bad actor, but it's just because he's so happy to be with his friend. He goes, "That's such a great story, Mark," and he just ends the scene. They tried that like 15 times, and he can't grasp that. Like, he's just so happy to be in a scene with his friend.
That's not a proper response to. Yeah,
they asked James Franco, like, "What was Tommy's? Did you ask him what his favorite scene in the movie was?" And he's like, he was on Marin's podcast, and he was like, "Yeah, like, you know, the scene where Mark and Tommy or Johnny are just in the pool together." And, like, James was like, "Why is that? It's like a fucking tiny scene in the movie. Why is that such a big deal?" He goes, "Because Greg, my best friend, we were in the pool together, you know?" And he's like, he's just so... I liked the movie as a whole. I do like Tommy Wiseau. I think it's funny that at the Golden Globes, after how much James Franco loves him, he called him up, he brought him on stage, which is... he didn't have to do that. You know, after all the people who have been portrayed in film from real-life people, him taking him... and bringing him up on stage was nice enough. But the minute, and you can look this clip up on YouTube.
I'm going to try to pull up the audio and
please
put
do
it in here.
Because you hear James Franco go into the mic. Tommy Wiseau tries to step into the cut. And to, like, he brings him up on stage. And James won Best Actor. And he's taking his 30 seconds or whatever they give you to thank his friends and family. Sure. And Tommy Wiseau, who did not win Best Actor, steps in to do that. And James Franco puts his hand, mailboxed him. Mailboxed and handled him. And said, no. I want that clip found. It's very subtle, but he put him in check, and he should have. I would have been mad at that, too. Like, I think backstage he might have said to him, like, "Look, I'm never doing anything with you again." Like, that was the line, you right. know? I won the award. And that was my week.
Okay. All right. So, topic number two is the Netflix show Dark.
Which I haven't watched.
You haven't watched it yet.
Because we prearranged that I wanted to get a cold read on something in your life. I wanted to give a cold opinion on this. And I have right. heard a lot about it, but I wanted your opinion first, and then I wanted to see if I want to watch.
My opinion on Dark is, go watch Dark. It just got renewed for a second season. At first blush, it looks a lot like Stranger Things. It's about a small town and the teenagers in it, and there's the local power plant where something weird is going on.
Okay.
But it's, so first of all, it's in German. It's not in English. So you're either going to have to watch it dubbed or subtitled. I recommend subtitles because the dubbing is not great.
What are you rating the show on? We'll do TV shows. We'll do out of 5 for some reason, and movies out of 10. I just think that structure's better.
So I'm almost to the end of season 1. I haven't finished it yet.
Okay.
But it's a. I'm not. You know what? No, I'm not doing your numbers. I'm just giving it a hearty recommend. If you like Stranger Things, watch this show.
You shouldn't be on a podcast if you can't give me a number rating. I'm not. I gave you a number rating.
Uh huh. Yeah, you can do a number rating all you want. I'm not giving number ratings. I'm giving watch it or don't watch it.
You were such a flip-flopping dick. Just give an opinion, man.
I just gave my opinion. Watch it.
That's like somebody asked you, how was that Chinese restaurant you tried out last night?
And your initial reaction is 5 out of 6.
That'd be like, okay, I'm going to go there. But if
I say, you should go there, you're like, well, you didn't even give me an opinion.
You didn't say it like, you should go there. It's all in your tone. You said...
I said, you should... The first thing I say is, you should watch Dark.
You should watch Dark.
You should that's watch Dark.
Say. Yeah. Yeah, that's like if I go to a girl. You want to have sex? I'll have sex. I'm not going out of my way to do. You know what I'm saying? Would you be happy with that?
Go out of your way to have sex with
Dark.
Dark.
Got you. That needs to be edited out. Okay.
we didn't even talk about Dark yet.
The overall dubbing on the show, though.
Yes. I only watched the first.
When was that the problem though with it?
That was the first 10 minutes.
Really?
Yes. I showed you. There's a clip. That I showed you.
Okay.
That's in the first 15 minutes of the show.
And was it a struggle to get to the 15? Like, were you noticing this off the bat? Or it's yes. Just that specific scene that starts it? Was everything okay to that point?
It was fine. It's a little distracting. Have you watched a lot of films dubbed? Like, it can be distracting when people's mouths are moving and it's not syncing up.
Yes.
But that scene was the first one where... Alright, so a premise of the show is... The open is this guy hangs himself, and then it immediately skips forward 6 months, and you're seeing how his family's dealing with it.
Okay.
And then it spirals out from there, and the whole show is the different relationships in this small town.
But after the shock of the suicide, you're saying?
Right, but even the suicide's really just for his family.
Okay.
And then it's like, but, you know, your introduction to the... him going to high school is like the people are acting like he's weird because they either know or like his friend lied to everybody and said that he had to go to like another school for something.
Okay.
And it's him trying to like reintegrate back into his normal life without his dad.
Okay. Is there any supernatural aspect to this show?
Well, there's... Yes. It's... So it goes... The reason why you would compare it to a Stranger Things, there's a kid that's gone missing. Right? It's this kid, Eric.
Are they just going to ride this Stranger Thing into the ground? Where they just make Stranger Things German, and that will also do a South African Stranger Things, well, where a baby tiger goes missing.
Yes, but it doesn't... That's what I'm saying. It initially feels that way.
Okay.
And then when you find out... I can't even say what's really going on, because I have no idea what's actually going on in the show.
You wait, how many episodes deep are you, though?
About 8.
And you don't know what's going on.
I mean, I could
no wonder you can't read
I could
it.
Tell you what happened.
Okay.
But what's happening, why it's happening, and that I couldn't tell you. Because half the fun of the show is figuring out what is going on. At one point...
So are you hoping for a big twist at the end that sums it all up?
Here's a fun fact. It takes place in the town of Winden. Which is actually a play on the fact that that's the German word for twist. There's constant twists in the show.
Mm.
It's twists and turns.
Look at the big brain on Rob.
And you're just... Yes, it makes you feel smart. That's why I like the show. But at one point, an old man that you see him several times where he's just like catatonic and sitting in a home.
Mm-hmm.
And a certain... All right. How much should I talk about like what actually happens in the show? I can just talk about it. Right?
Go ahead. Yeah.
So
show right now.
The guy who kills himself.
Yeah.
Right. He leaves a suicide note.
Okay.
But it says, "Do not open until May 30th." Right.
So they obviously
And this is taking place 6 months before that.
So they obviously open it right away.
No.
Oh, really? They honor that?
This what? Well, that's.
If your dad left a note, I'm sorry. If your dad left a note, your dad killed himself, and he left a note, "Don't open this on May 30th." Well, would you open it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But the fucking well, Germans. Actually, no. It's his last request. Maybe I wouldn't. But it's also his family doesn't have the note.
Oh, so
this woman has the note, and it becomes clearer who she is and why she might have it later on.
Okay.
But so he leaves that note. The day that happens, another kid goes missing. At the exact moment, like, he leaves, it's like May 30th at 11 p.m. And at May 30th, 11 p.m., another kid goes missing.
Okay.
Out of the town. And the woman who has the envelope opens it and just starts crying. But they don't explain, they don't show you what it actually, what the note says.
HIV results?
So, but like, and then this old man that you've seen in a nursing home,
uh-huh.
that he's been like comatose, just sitting in a chair, he gets up and runs to a PTA meeting, like in bare feet, just screaming, "It's happening again, it's happening, it's happening again." I mean, if you're gonna watch the show, maybe don't listen to this.
Alright, you have me intrigued. This sounds very Stranger Thing-ish.
Right, but...
But you said it goes in this direction, and then it dips off.
Well, no, well, this is, like, the first two episodes.
Okay.
And then, like, because it is, like, Stranger Things, where it's, like, the mystery of what's going on at the power plant.
Okay.
And, like, that seems really dead on, because it is, you know, in Stranger Things, it's also, like, the Department of Energy. But, like, this, in Dark, it's literally a nuclear power plant. That's in this town is like based around.
Okay.
And you're kind of following like the people running the plant. And
oh, it's still active?
Yes.
Oh, that's a big deal.
And so, but like, all right, fuck it. I'm just going to spoil the first big twist.
But I don't.
No?
Because you got me into it now.
All right. So maybe
I was going to give you my answer to watch it. I was going to say, I want to watch this now.
Yeah. And so so you're following all these people and following the relationships and all the while, all this weird shit is happening in the background of what's actually going on.
Okay.
Like,
so there's something on the surface, and then everything starts to trickle from there.
Right. It's okay. Like, so very much on the surface, it's like Stranger Things, where it's
what's
like,
better?
It's this group of kids, it's this this small town, and what like life is like in a small town.
Okay.
And then, but the actual substance of it is very different. The characters are very different. Mm. I mean, there's even actually, now that I think about it, I hadn't really like one of the. The adult characters is like a cop in the town. I hadn't even thought about that.
Are you just watching Stranger Things with a German closed caption? You might be.
Maybe. But then watch it, because it's okay. Just as good as Stranger Things, I think.
Okay. But when I do, the conversation we had yesterday is that the dubbing, I need to just put it on closed caption and just read with subtitles.
You have to read it, yeah. Because, like, at one point, it's getting emotional. Like, the one kid's father killed himself.
Okay.
And he's talking to his therapist.
Okay.
And the therapist is just talking, like, how are you doing? Okay. And the guy goes, what? He's something along the lines of, why would you want to see your dad again? And
okay.
He's like, why? They ask him why he did it. Why all this bullshit? And in German, it's very natural. You can tell it's very good acting, even if you can't understand the language.
Okay.
But the dub is, why? So I can ask him why this bullshit? Like, it's a very bad dub.
Why? Why he left? Why like that? Why he fucking hanged himself? And why he didn't leave a word? Nothing to explain this fucking crap.
It's an excellent show. And I heartily recommend it.
All right, I'm going to put it up against the other. If you won't give me a number, because you're right.
It's a recommend. I'm doing a binary recommend, no recommend.
Okay. If you won't give me a number, okay. Better or worse than Stranger Things? It's close?
Yes. And I haven't finished Dark yet, so...
Really?
Yeah.
That's a bold statement to make. And you can't give me... That would warrant a 4 at least out of 5.
I would imagine.
Because I would put Stranger Things in a 4 out of 5. The only thing I don't like about
Stranger... Yeah, I'd give Stranger Things a recommend.
You fucking... Stranger Things or Dark, would you... Right now, what would you say? Based on your opinion right now. Which one would you give the stronger recommend to, if you're not going to give me that?
Stranger Things.
Okay.
But I also know where Stranger Things goes.
Thank you for
that. And I've seen 2 seasons of it.
I like the first season better than the second one.
I
don't like Will being in it more. I don't.
No, Will's not great.
I don't. I liked him being in the Upside Down. I like that.
Yeah, just get out of here.
Just stay there, and I don't like... He's very whiny now that he's out. Like, dude, we hunted for you for a season. Like, shut the fuck up and just relax. Like, he's a major inconvenience on poor Winona. Who's just stressed out.
All the time.
She has to fucking...
Don't you think her other son could help her out a little bit?
He did a lot in the first season.
Yeah, not the second season. He's just...
He's having sex. This is a metaphor for life. You're always there to help your parents out until you realize what you're your genitals do. And then you're either...
Then you're out there drinking Stoli and having sex.
In weird pedophile basements. I've never done that. That's what I'm just saying. In the show that happens. But, okay. Are you ready for it?
No, I'm not ready for it.
The basis for this conversation, the last topic of the day, we are going to Star Wars. But we're going to call the segment Star Wars because we thought, look, he sat up in his chair for
The Last Jedi. Say the whole title of the movie.
Episode 8, Star Wars, The Last Jedi. Okay. Ding, ding, ding. Because
you can't unring that bell?
You can't unring that bell. Me and Rob are both very, very big, I would say, dorks in a way of saying that we both love these movies, but we have very different opinions on basically every philosophy that you could look at in Star Wars. It just shows our personalities, but...
Let's start broad. Did you like the movie?
No.
You're crazy.
And I'm not saying that just to get a reaction out of you, because I wanted it to be just a conversation on how great the movie was. I promise you, this is one movie I went into, and I don't like doing this, because I love the movie so much. I went into it wanting to like it.
Right.
Okay. You know I like Kylo Ren as a character.
Right. You're also crazy for that.
Okay. But see, this is it. You disagree with all the points. All right, whatever. I'm just saying. Kylo Ren I like as a character, because I like the idea of a whiny bitch, teen, adolescent-ish Sith Lord.
30-year-old.
30-year-old adolescent Sith Lord. But... You want me to... I'll give you a number, you give me your recommended number.
No, I think that goes without saying. If you haven't seen Star Wars yet, you should go see Star Wars.
Yes, yes.
If you haven't seen it yet, it's because you don't want to see Star Wars.
I hated it. You should go see Star Wars, okay? It's like the news. I hate the news every week, but I fucking watch it.
Yeah, you pay attention.
Yeah, you need to know what's going on in this. I do not like what they did with Luke. I do not like it at all.
I loved it.
Am I just going to say a point and you're just going to say the opposite?
It's what it seems like.
Okay.
So, go...
I'm going to give a number rating on Star Wars. I would appreciate if you give me a number rating on this one. Because it's a fucking series you like.
5 out of 5.
A real number rating on Star Wars. You like it better than Force Awakens?
Absolutely.
So, what do you give... I need a baseline here. What do you give Empire Strikes Back? Return of the Jedi is your favorite Star Wars?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll rank them then.
Go ahead.
Return of the Jedi, Empire, New Hope, The Last Jedi.
You're such a fucking asshole. That's unreal.
It's the best one out of...
It doesn't connect to the story. It's so chaotic.
It's the whole story.
All right, first of all, why don't you kill Leia off? Because the actress is dead. She's dead now. That is a point that you're going to agree with me on?
Yes, but that was probably also... They probably decided that before she died, you know?
No, that... You can't like what they did with Luke, okay?
Why not? Explain it to me why I'm...
Okay,
wrong.
I don't like the back and forth with... First of all, I want a little... I've explained this to you before. One thing I don't like about this, I need a little more in this entire universe than just the Skywalkers.
Absolutely.
Okay? I do need that more. The entire movie was focused on a one he said, she said thing where actually I think it's a metaphor for uncle touching children. Okay? Kylo Ren says he came into his, what we'll call it, Jedi tent in the night and was going to kill him. But that look in his eye in that screen is a rape look, not a kill look, okay? And then all of a sudden, they ask Luke, who's coincidentally ran away that nobody could find. It's like going to find the uncle. Oh, that uncle who got accused of rape, where'd he go? Oh, yeah, we don't know. He ran off, but he's innocent. Like, I do think Luke tried to kill him. But it's stated that he did.
No, it's not. Kylo Ren thinks that.
He admitted it, though. Luke's...
No, he admits that he thought about it.
Up until what? His nephew woke up, so I was going to kill him right up until he turned around?
That's exactly what Luke says. He says...
So Kylo Ren is right.
No. So Luke reaches into his mind to see what's there. He sees the darkness, and his initial instinct reaction is to kill him.
Yes. So he goes into the tent to do it.
No. He's in the tent to search his mind. Yeah, he puts his hand out.
I'm wiggling my fingers right now in a weird
way. And he sees the darkness in him, and his initial reaction is to kill it.
Yes.
He ignites his lightsaber. That's when Kylo wakes up. Luke already decided not to do it, that he realizes that's the wrong thing to do.
You were so on his side.
This is Luke's version.
Yeah, okay.
Kylo wakes up, sees him standing over him, about to kill him, and defends himself.
Okay.
And then burns down the whole Jedi Academy and takes a bunch of kids.
that we don't know what happened to.
Assuming he's a Skywalker, he probably did the same thing that
every other Sarah murdered them all.
Yes.
Luke, but still the good guy.
Luke considered it. Anakin murdered a bunch of kids.
Kids, yeah, and sand people and an entire fucking civilization. How many people do you want to do a death toll on Darth Vader?
He doesn't get the Death Star. That was all Tarkin.
You sound like a Trump administrator. The one, I will give it this.
Darth Vader was just getting coffee for him.
It had maybe my favorite Star Wars scene in a movie.
I'll give it that.
I really liked, and we did talk about this, I do like the final use. It was actually done, the use of the Imperial Guards in a movie. Yes. That is important.
That was a payoff 30 years in the making.
That was. Like, that scene is good. And then this is this thing that you brought to my attention and made me realize. I don't like the fact that Kylo Ren isn't as good. He's not the best with a lightsaber. He's not the best with using the Force. Rey saves him, essentially, in that scene where he's fighting off. I think there was 8 Imperial Guards when he kills Snoke. But Kylo Ren is never like... Anakin always handled shit on his own. Could fight on his own. Luke handled shit on his own. I'll even call Vader his own separate Skywalker, but he isn't. Handled shit on his own. Like, Vader was a boss with a lightsaber. Kylo Ren...
Anakin was. We never really see Vader...
You do in Rogue One. You see him kill that whole... But I get your point. But yeah, it is assumed that he's still... He's same capable. I get it. The actor isn't the same.
Well, no. I mean, Obi-Wan in New Hope says how he's more machine now than man. He's weaker with the Force because he's less...
Man.
And so... Like, he's not doing his giant flips that Anakin is doing in the prequels. Like, you could say, like...
You don't think he could have pulled that? If they had the CGI to do that in...
That's a different argument.
That's what I'm saying?
Would Lucas have done it? Absolutely.
Okay.
But it's... I like that it's more like, no, he's an old man, and he's not what he used to be. And then Luke never gets to that level because he has no one to teach him. Kylo is being taught by Luke, who doesn't know all those things.
Who's still a teenager himself. Hamill never aged. He's just a gray-haired teenager.
He looks great, doesn't he?
I've grown to respect him so much more before these movies came out, just based on... He works, man. Like, people think he just was Luke Skywalker. Most of the general public who isn't a geek or isn't a nerd thinks, oh, if you hear Mark Hamill, even if you know who that is. Like, most people, when they see him, probably, like, Luke Skywalker.
Sure.
But his voice work is extent. Like, he is the Joker. When I hear his voice, I don't think Luke Skywalker. I think of the Joker. I do.
Absolutely.
Is the one. Okay.
He changed that role, I think.
100% he did.
The only other person you could say did something like that to the role is Heath Ledger.
Yes. Like, Jack Nicholson, as great as he is, that's still Jack Nicholson being the Joker. You know what I'm saying? All right. Without getting into a Joker thing, because that's me, and I could talk about it for days. The scene I'm talking about with the Imperial Guard... I'm happy, and you made the point that this director was obviously a Star Wars fan, because this is the first time they were used in an actual fight scene, and it's great. It is, but...
Right. You get why they're there, why
someone
as powerful as the Emperor or Snoke would have them standing there.
And that's why you shut me up in that argument, because I was like, how come Kylo Ren isn't the boss that, like, the bad guy in Star Wars always is, where he could just wipe them out in 1, 2, 3 strikes with this? And then you said to me, like, these are the Imperial Guard. Like, we've never even got to see them fight for, what, when's the first movie come out? 30 years? Right. Well, 40 years?
I think the first time they show up is in Jedi.
And they don't even fight in Jedi.
No, they just stand in the background.
Stand in the background. So that made me appreciate the scene more. Like, that's a scene I'll go back and watch again. Like, the scene with the robot tickling bothered me. I'm going to bring that to the light. And I'm going to bring that to the light side of the Force here. Okay. There's no reason why Oscar Isaac, another great actor, needs to slide on his knees like a guy playing the electric guitar in an 80s band with his knees down like this, flat core out like this, and then come to embrace a robot and tickle him on the stomach when he sees him.
Do you think BB-8 feels the tickle?
I don't know, and I don't want to go that far into it, because I don't know if I'll come back from that kind of nerd black hole, but I
want to look it up on Wikipedia.
I think an actor should not make that decision. If that wasn't talked about after, you know what I'm saying? Like, no one went, Oscar, like, you just tickled a fucking robot. Can we go back to square one here? Like, you just tickled a robot!
Well, he's treating it like a dog.
A pat on the head would have been fine. He's embraced BB-8 before, and it was never sliding up to him. He slid. I wish people could see me do this right now. It was a thrust slide, and his legs are out, and his ass is out, and he just tickles him like a fucking Bon Jovi video. And you're just like, this is a robot. Like, I get it, it's sci-fi, and like, it's already enough to go into all this mythology and theory on a thing that doesn't even exist. Like, we're talking about a man tickling a fictional robot in an alternate reality, and it still bothers me.
Luke never tickled R2.
Or did he, and he didn't speak to him again, just like he did his nephew.
That, you think that's why R2 shuts down?
Yeah, and R2 is very insecure now all of a sudden. Oh, by the way, they give C-3PO his arm back.
No mention.
No mention of why his arm is back.
My theory is that...
there's a scene cut?
No, that'll be a Rogue One style between movies.
Are they going to go in between 7 and 8?
They have to, don't they? How did he get the arm back? Oh, it doesn't seem like they really left that much time in between.
It wasn't overall as a whole that I hated the entire thing. It was just too many small things that added up at once. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
It was like nine jabs in the face. I wasn't thrown one knockout punch and put on my ass and I was like, wow, I'm never going to fight this guy again. I'll probably watch Last Jedi 80 more times before I die. But whenever those moments come up where Kylo Ren smashes his mask and doesn't wear it again.
That is one of the best scenes. I can't imagine that why...
Not if you love the mask!
We'll talk about that later. I get it. But the things add up to why you don't like it.
Yes.
I just disagree. Well, I want to go back to something that you said a minute ago.
Okay.
You said Oscar Isaac, great actor. What has he been in that he's a great actor?
Oscar Isaac is good in several small roles that I've seen... I like Oscar Isaac as an actor. He's better than to power slide guitar into a robot and tickle him. It made me uncomfortable.
Because after The Force Awakens, I didn't care for Poe. I didn't care about that character or where it was going or anything.
I agree with you.
And then, but after The Last Jedi, I care about that character now. I love his story throughout the movie.
Okay.
From going from flyboy, seat of your pants... but not a leader,
okay.
To by the end, he's ready to lead. And presumably, by the next movie, he will be the leader of the rebellion.
I agree with you.
And and his process to get there and being, going out of his way to kind of undermine the rebellion to save it.
Yeah.
And then realizing that it's how to actually lead is, I think that's great stuff. And Poe went from my least interested character to one of my most interested, that I'm most interested to see where it goes.
Okay. Do you think they'll ever conclude his, or they'll do spinoffs after? Because they say this is, they're doing these in sets of trilogies with spinoffs. He took over the Han Solo wise ass character in Star Wars, and I like that. I do like that. But it also kind of makes me upset because that was always what I liked about Han. And I wanted one more of it with Luke. I wanted one more... I know you can't have it because Han died in Force Awakens. And Luke is gone in this one. So now it'll never happen. Well, you never know. It is Star Wars. They could find some way. I wanted one more scene. Either it be a meeting with Luke and Han again. But I wanted that one more with the three of them. Leia, Luke, and Han. And just that one scene where Luke is always trying to be the rational one. And Han is the dick. I just wanted one more of that.
Right, I agree.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was a big part of Star Wars. Whether it was a small part, but it was big in the overall story of it. That those three together, it was like the three amigos.
Yeah.
And you never got closure in that. Even at the end when Luke isn't really there. And he's not really there with her. It's a thing. I think, truly, if they're holding cadence to the real trilogy, Leia, if she felt that Luke was in trouble, which he was, she would have tried harder to contact him, I think. But, wait, no, I'm sorry, because there's a lot going on. It's not like Leia's sitting there retired and looking for a brother. I'm sorry.
She's only running a government.
Yeah,
and...
she's running away from the Rogue One, the First Order. But, once again, it's not the same writer every movie. They kind of changed the... Like, I didn't like that. I believe I would have liked it if they kept JJ for the entire three.
I'm glad they didn't.
But then the beginning is, there's A, B, and C are written by three different people. There should have been somebody who sat down and said, A, B, C, how we get in between them. You could swerve, you can turn around, you could do this and that. But from A to C needs to be, that's the way it needs to be done.
I think that's what Disney is doing. But they're keeping
track. I don't want it to be Disney. I want it to be J.J. Abrams who does that.
Why?
Because J.J. Abrams wrote Force Awakens was fucking great because of J.J. Abrams. If you think it wasn't, you're wrong.
Have you rewatched Force Awakens lately?
Yes! I watched it this week!
I rewatched it. It doesn't hold up. It's a good movie, but it's not great.
You think 8 is... Wait, I'm going to ask you again because you already did the count and I know I'm wrong. You think 8 is better than 7?
Absolutely. It's a better film. No.
Force Awakens is more of a Star Wars movie. Episode 8 should have ended 9 times throughout the movie. They had 9 ending scenes. I literally got up off my chair like 9. I'm like, okay, this is the end. No. No, this is the end. No. Oh, this is the end. No. I did that like probably 8 or 9 times. Okay. The thing at the end pissed me off the most. Okay. And the slave boy using the force to push a broom across the floor. That's not what angers me the most. He's truly a slave. Are we going to agree that he's a slave boy?
Yeah.
Okay. What slaves are allowed to wear jewelry? Not only jewelry, but wear rebellion jewelry when they're working in front of their masters. That'd be like white slave owners in the South owning slaves.
I'm taking the time down on this, by the way.
No. White slave owners who had slaves, okay? And not only were those slaves wearing jewelry, but they were wearing, like, Union flag, like, t-shirts. Like, you're wearing the rebellion symbol, and you're sweeping the floor of the First Order. Like, no one checks
them. Oh, that's not the First Order.
That's a First Order ship. Those slaves are captive slaves from a planet that they took. Absolutely, that is.
Yeah, well, it's the planet with the... The weapons manufacturers that sell weapons to both sides of the army.
Yes, but those people are on a First Order ship. Those kids are on a First Order
ship. They're not on a ship. Did you ever watch it?
Wait, he's pushing the broom. That's on...
No, he's one of the slave kids from the stables for the... Probably the worst part of the movie was that the chase scene with the giant cats.
Oh yeah.
That was a little prequel.
I might have blocked that out until you mentioned it.
Like that entire casino scene isn't wonderful.
Necessary.
Yeah.
Did you think Benicio needed to be in this movie? They added him in to just put Benicio del Toro in that movie.
I think that was an attempt at a...
Lando? It's very Lando.
I've heard people say that it's a Lando character. I was thinking it was supposed to be more of a Boba Fett, like a cool side character.
But he has no skills other than he can just hack into things.
He's like a hacker. They have a word for it, but I can't remember.
But what why is his saliva the thing that does it? Do you notice that? That he licks everything and all of a sudden it just unlocks the door? Originally I heard he was supposed to play the head of the Republic. And it probably was just a rumor, obviously, because it was a different character now. But I thought they wrote that. I think that character was very forced in. I think they could have done it in a different way.
Right.
You know?
Well, and that whole scene's weird, like, because there's the other guy that they're trying to get, and I can't remember who that is.
And they don't really explain why they didn't get him. Benicio just kind of taps him on the shoulder, and he's like, I could do it.
Right, and they're just like, and oh, they're like, oh, sure, yeah. You could do it. That's great.
So you get my point overall. You know me. I love Star Wars, like, I don't know, this is really bad. This might be a bad thing for me to say publicly. I love Star Wars, like, I love... A cheating girlfriend. When she's around and everything's good and I'm curled up on the couch, I'd love me some Star Wars, you know? Sure. But then later on, I'm like, hey, what the fuck was that? You know, what was that comment? What was that thing she did? What was that action? You know, it's just stuff that I get furious about over time. And then I complain to my best friend about it, who I do with both things in my life. So,
and I say, I love your girlfriend.
She's great. She's great. But I hope one day you admit that Star Wars, unlike any girl I've ever dated, is wrong from, you know, is wrong. Is that...
To go back to Luke's storyline, I love how that he does something wrong.
Okay.
Even just for a moment. Because that's kind of Luke's whole thing, is that he's... He's always on the brink of going bad, right?
He's very similar to you. He never goes concrete. Wow, that was a big thing for you, I guess. I saw your face. He never does a concrete yes or no. He finds a way to. Doesn't do anything good or anything bad. He just is there. Like, you know, he finds a way to settle the situation, but he never teeters. It's always on the line of doing something good or bad.
Right.
Never gives the yes or no. It's
just, and he goes. Yeah, he goes to save Vader and. He almost kills him. He almost goes dark, but then he stops at the last moment.
And then Vader does it for him.
Vader does it for him.
Yes.
And redeems himself.
I'm Vader in this situation. Thank you.
And, but, so it, Like, I saw people online getting mad about how Luke isn't this great guy. And that's...
That, he's not supposed to be.
He's never been that.
He's not supposed to be, yes.
And what you said before about meeting up with Han, I would have liked, and maybe this is just being a fanboy, I would have liked that callback to, like, don't get cocky.
I would have loved it.
Because the entire point of Luke's arc is about how he got cocky and he was arrogant.
Yeah.
And that cost him, and the whole galaxy, everything.
Can I add one thing here? I would like to... The other thing I would like to see Han and Luke in this situation is... Han and Luke's biggest thing was always... You're saying the don't get cocky thing, but... They're always battling over the... We're doing this way. We're doing this that way. This would have been the... Probably the most optimal time in Han's life. If he was still alive. To not only tell Luke, you were wrong. But your way doesn't work. And you owe me because you fucked up my son. Right. You know?
Yeah.
You get my point?
You That's let me down in the most...
Worst way ever. Right. Like, Luke, I was right. You're wrong. And Leia could have been involved in the situation by always, like, what she does, playing the middle. Mm-hmm. And sometimes kissing her brother, which she does in two middle movies, which we are going to... I wonder if Disney's going to edit that out.
You think they should have kissed in this one? Just a peck on the cheek.
No, she kisses him on the lips.
No, I know, but in this one...
Empire.
Oh, no. Hey, did you ever read the novelizations of that? And it's like this whole weird thing about she's trying to make Han jealous, so she kisses Luke.
Absolutely, I could see that in the film too. Yeah. But they don't know, this is so before Game of Thrones too. Yeah, if you guys like Game of Thrones, watch, I think it's 15 minutes into Empire Strikes Back where Leia kisses Luke. A very coked up Leia kisses Luke. You think best. Hamill did drugs? I'm really asking seriously.
Absolutely.
You think that whole set was on drugs? Was yes. Lucas a drug addict?
Not that I know of.
He's way too... that's coke. Wait,
what's that? Just get that off my set.
Why Harrison Ford didn't come back for the whole half?
I'm fucking done with this.
Freeze me. I'm going to stay in the trailer. You figure it out. I'm stuck.
Chewie looks great. I love Chewie's arc. Oh,
Chewie's arc is great. I need to do one thing before we end this. Are you okay with them using the old Yoda, but in CGI, as opposed to using the newer Yoda drawn in CGI? You know what I mean by that?
My problem with CGI Yoda in the prequels isn't that it's CGI, it's how it looks.
I like the original Yoda. Okay, so you're okay... I'm sorry, let me...
So, yeah, in Last Jedi, that Yoda looks great.
Okay.
Who knows how it'll look in a few years. Well, I think that...
Original Yoda. That is. That's the puppet, but they just cleaned him up and did CGI. It's that puppet CGI. Like, they cleaned it up. It looks... I like it, but... You notice how much smaller Yoda's head is now. Like, they changed Yoda a lot in the prequels, and I didn't realize it.
He was supposed to be younger in that. Although, they do...
What's the year gap there? It's not that...
It's like 20 years, because Luke is born...
Okay.
Luke and Leia are born at the end, and Luke and Leia are about 18 at...
So, but we just... We just made a point that they made an error, because you're telling me Yoda's thousands of years old, but all his aging occurred in his last 20 years? That's a good life to live, actually. I'm sorry. I'd like to live like Yoda, where I only age my last 20 years of 1,000.
The whole age thing in the time scale of Star Wars is really weird. Because, I mean, by New Hope, half the universe doesn't even know what Jedis are. And it was like, no, they were like space cops 20 years ago. Like, if the FBI disappeared right now...
Yeah.
We would know what they were in 20 years. Yes, you know what I mean?
That's a great point,
Rob. We still know what the KGB was 20 years ago.
Yes.
And so, it doesn't really make sense.
I can tell you what the Gestapo was. I can tell you members of the Gestapo right now.
Right. Like, you would think people would know who Yoda was.
Yeah.
Still.
He's Himmler.
Right? They're just going around doing their secret actions all over the place with no oversight at all.
And they're clean, clean robes.
Right, yeah, the six guys making their decisions.
Yep.
Yeah, so I love the new Star Wars. I think it was great. I think Luke's great in it.
Do you think they're going to bring him back as a force? To end this whole discussion, because we'll probably talk about Star Wars in at least twice every episode until either one of us ends this. Do you think they'll bring Luke back as a force spirit?
I'd put money on it.
You would? Okay.
His last words are, "See you around, kiddo." He's going to be back.
Okay. Okay. And I think that's the way we end it.
Oh, right.
I think it's appropriate that we end with, see you around, kiddo.
Thank you for listening to the inaugural episode of 3 with Z. Please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you happen to find our podcast. You can reach out to us at 3withZ 3zee@gmail.com. That's the letter 3 with Z-E-E. Or at 3 with Z on Twitter. That's the number 3, the word with, Z-E-E. And we're looking forward to hearing from you. And we'll see you again next week.